made overcomer, the Bible says, by our testimonies, by the blood of the Lamb. So when you have a testimony to share, share it. A lot of times that touches someone's heart more than the preacher does. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. It's hard to compete with the Niners and the Packers. So those of you that are sports fans will know what that means, but the rest of you are wondering what I'm up to. Pastor has been preaching some wonderful sermons, doing his best to get us prepared for the coming of the Lord. And those are not easy sermons to preach when you start talking about the end of time and what's going on in our world and the way things are today. And they're not easy sermons to listen to. Truthfully, they scare me. Not for me, myself, but I have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And if the Lord doesn't come, it scares me what they're going to have to be facing. But because he's been preaching so powerfully lately and sharing that kind of word with us, he felt like it was time for a little comic relief. So he asked me to preach. That's an amen corner over there. I'll be reading from a portion of Scripture in a little bit. Don't put it up yet, guys. I'm not like Pastor. Pastor's kind of like John Hagee. Have you ever noticed that? He'll have a stand and give us our Scripture, and then he'll preach 15 minutes before he reads the Scripture, and we're standing there. So I'm not going to have you do that till I get ready to preach. So hang on for a little bit, guys. When I was a boy, grew up on a dirt farm, northeast Arkansas, and then in Illinois for several years. We lived there on a dairy farm, and we were poor folk. You know what I'm talking about? We were poor that the poor kids made fun of us. Okay. We didn't have video games. We wouldn't have had anything to play them on if we'd had them. We didn't have telephones. We didn't have televisions. If we played, well, we didn't play much because we worked hard. When you grow up on a farm, it doesn't matter. I was 10 years old driving a tractor, plowing fields. You work hard, but when you get time to play, you play just as hard as you worked. And since we didn't have games to play, and we couldn't play in the house, because Mama would say, "You kids get outside with your playing, and don't let that screen door slam." Too late. Bam. I put a screen door up in my house this summer just so I could open it and let it slam. That's the truth. But we would play things like cowboys and Indians. And one day I would go out, because I grew up on a farm, I had a horse, so I would take my shirt off, my shoes off, get my mama's lipstick, put war paint on my face, put a turkey feather in my hair, and I would ride out across our property and hunt buffalo all day. Never killed one, but I hunted them. The next day I was a cowboy. Because I was a cowboy, then I would put on boots and my hat and my Roy Rogers six guns, and I would go out and I would hunt bad cattle rustlers and those type of people all day long. We played those kind of games because we didn't have other kind of games. But one of my favorite games, we played cops and robbers. One day I was John Dillinger robbing the banks. Next day I was Elliot Ness hunting for me. But I always got away. My favorite game was soldier. for some reason. Because back in the 50s, when I was a kid growing up, there was a lot of problems with Russia at that time, and we all thought that Russia was going to invade us. Remember at school when we were growing up that they had those drills that we had to crawl under our desks and hide because we knew the Russians were going to come in? Now, some of y'all are as old as I am. You have to be able to remember this stuff. So I thought, when I grow up, I'm going to be a soldier, and I'm going to hunt down Russians, and I'm going to save America. And so I would get, my uncles were in the military, and when they got out and they came home, my mom took one of their uniforms and adapted it so I could wear it. And again, I'd get my .22 rifle that I had, and I would go out and I would hunt Russians all day long, and I would get rid of all of them. There'd be hundreds of them, but I would be able to wipe them all out. And I would come back home, and I would walk down my sidewalk, and my sister had tore up, who was a year younger than I am, tore up papers to make confetti and would throw it on me. Give me a hero home welcome. I wanted to be a soldier. And if you were a soldier, thank you for your service. Or a sailor. Or a airman. Or whatever else you might have been. But I remember putting on my uniform one day, and I was walking around with my .22, and my dad caught me and asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm hunting Russians, and when I grow up, Dad, I want to be a soldier. And he said, so you want to be a soldier, do you? And I took that thought, and I want to use that tonight for just a few moments, because so you want to be a soldier. You need to count the costs if you're going to enlist. So in the book of 2 Timothy, guys, chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. I'm so thankful that they have that, but y'all need to be sure and carry your Bibles and learn where those things are in your Bibles as well. Now you can stand up. Reading from the King James Version, New King James. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are to underline good soldier. Obviously, there can be soldiers that are not good. There's a difference. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlists him as a soldier. Father, thank you for your word. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It is anointed, but I stand in need of help. So, God, I just pray for that special anointing tonight as we bring your word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, if you're following the game on your phone, and your team scores and you shout, I'll just play like you're into the message, okay? Please understand me today. God did not mean for the church to be a democracy where men and women determine the will of God by casting votes. Seldom, when that happens, does the will of God come into play. What we want as individuals usually determines how we're going to vote on certain things. But God intended for the church to be the most militant force on the face of this earth. In other words, God
wanted the church to be ready to fight for a cause like Pastor preached not too long ago. When there's a cause to fight for, the church needs to be ready to do it. And in order for that to happen, the church must be biblically correct and become a chain of command. That's God's plan for a successful church. The Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3 and verse 15, that I will give shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So God gives us a shepherd who is under the chief shepherd, which is Christ. And then it says he gives deacons for the ministry to the laity. And he gives teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints. And then he gives the helps ministries to go forth as a mighty army, as good soldiers, enduring hardness and winning the lost at any cost. Now, do you know that God mentions war 225 times in the New Testament? Warfare 5 times. Fighting 83 times. And soldiers 35 times. If we learn anything, we are to understand, as the old song says, this is a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Paul told Timothy in the first book letter to him in chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold comes from a Greek phrase that means grip tightly. We cannot, church, hide behind the apron strings of the church and win this battle. You ever look through the hymnal? Hymnal, that's a fancy word for hymn book, song book. At the songs, am I a soldier of the cross? Onward, Christian soldiers. We're marching to Zion. Hold the fort. Keep on the firing line. When the battle's over, sound the battle cry. Songsheet.com says there are more than 1,000 songs that speak about the warfare of the Christian life. My brother-in-law, before he passed away, pastored in another organization for over 30 years. And he said every year when they went to their general council, whatever they call theirs, there was a fight every year to take all of the songs, Aaron, out of the songbook that referred to the blood or to warfare because it was too militant. Now, if you watch your news very often, this last convention that they had, and Chris, one of the doctors at your clinic, shared this with me. They have divided because one of them wants to hold to the conservative truths of God's Word and the other group wants to go to the far left. And they're ordaining and all of that, the lesbians, the gays, whatever that is, LGBTQ. Do you know in 1996 they added the Q? You know what that is? My wife hates this. But they added the Q, which stands for queer, because or question. They do put both of them there because that covers the ones who don't really know what they are. So they have a question about that. Okay, I'm not preaching that, so let me leave that alone. What I'm saying is this that we call the good book and the book of life and the Holy Bible is all about bloodshed and war and fighting and death and being a soldier. And Paul said at the end of his life, I have fought say that?
Now, before anyone can become a soldier, you got to enlist. 1940, they established the draft. And I remember at 18 years of age going down to the local post office. We had to register in those days for the draft. And I remember that lady said, "Son, you just signed your life away." Thank you, ma'am. 1975, the draft and the registration, or having to register for the draft, ended. In 1980, they brought it back. So now any boy that turns 18 has to go and register. And if those women who have lost their minds don't shut up, all you girls will have to be doing the same thing. My grandfather was in World War I. My dad was enlisted in World War II. I have uncles that were in the Navy, uncles that were in the Air Force. My brother was in Desert Storm, number one. My son-in-law was in Iran and Afghanistan. But being a soldier, though it runs in my family, didn't make me a soldier. I never served. I have another grandfather, had another grandfather, that was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher for 60 years. My dad was a deacon and a lay preacher. My sister married a preacher. My brother has served in areas of ministry. My uncle was a pastor. But just because Christianity runs in my family, that did not make me a Christian. I had to enlist myself. One Sunday morning when I was 12 years old, God touched my heart while we sang the old song, "I gave my life for thee, what have you done for me?" And I walked the aisle as a 12-year-old boy and gave my heart and life to God. I signed up to be in the Lord's army. Back when we first started pastoring, back in the old days, back in the 70s, in those days, they did things a little differently. We had Sunday school, and then we would come back out after Sunday school and have preliminaries, they called them. And the Sunday school secretary would read the Sunday school report, and then they would have all the kids come up and sing a couple of songs. Y'all, did y'all ever do that? And I can still see my little girls. I was going to sing this, but believe it or not, there is an individual among us who does not appreciate my gift of singing, so I will not sing it. I will just say it, okay? But I can still see all of those little kids standing across, lined up all the way across there, and they're singing, "I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry or ride in the cavalry or shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army, yes, sir." Are you? A soldier has to prove himself. And when I say him, please, that's gender neutral. That's themself, okay? They got to go through boot camp. They have to learn discipline. They have to make sacrifices. They have to take orders. They have to endure hardness in order to become a good soldier. You're not going to believe this, but some enlist just for the benefits. I mean, the military will take care of you if you'll just sign up. They'll house you, they'll feed you, they'll clothe you, they'll pay you, they'll give you insurance, and if you stay in long enough, they'll give you a pension. That all sounds wonderful until they get you to sign up. And you get to boot camp. You mean I got to do all this stuff? Now again, let me draw a parallel here.
joining the church is a good thing because it has a lot of benefits. I mean, they'll help us if we need it. They'll pray for us. They'll love us. They'll teach us. They'll train us. And we enjoy all of that. So where do I sign up? And then we get signed up. And the pastor asks us, and we start backing up. I didn't know that came along with serving God. You see, there are a lot of people, Chris, that want to be a part of our fellowship, but not our fighting. They want to be a part of our parties, but not a part of our prayer time. They want to be part of our worship, but not part of this war. They want the benefits, but they don't want the battle. They want our suppers, Aaron, but not our sacrifices. They will join us at the table, but not in the trenches. You see, the church is the place where we enlist in the service of the Lord. And along with that, there comes a time when we must learn to sacrifice and to take orders and endure hardness so that we can be a good soldier of that one who enlisted us. We live in an age when everybody wants to do what's right in their own eyes. Nobody wants to be told what to do. I don't like that. You know, and I've been told what to do all my life. Your parents when you're little,